Across the Border. That's the name of this program. And we're going through the Bible, chapter by chapter, well, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And we are in the book of Romans today. And we left off about Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And, of course, that sounds like the finish of what we were reading. It says, but, wow, judging the secrets of men. Well, I say, let all my secrets be judged today. Let everything in my life be judged by His Holy Spirit. Let it all come to light between me and Him. Let us all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't want any secrets. How could I have a secret from our Heavenly Father? That is foolishness to believe that we have secrets. But many men do have secrets. They think that that's because they don't regard God. They don't regard the Heavenly Father at all. They keep their secrets from the world, and since they have no regard for the Heavenly Father, they believe they keep their secrets from Him even. But that's foolishness. He shall judge the secrets of men by Yahshua, the Messiah. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. And it says that in the Authorized King James Version. Of course, in the 1611, it would be, you are called an Iodeus. I like some of these people that get on the air and they scream and they go, oh, the King James 1611 Version. But I never hear them quote it. They're always quoting the Authorized Version. I think they don't really, I think they believe that the Authorized Version is the 1611 Version. It shows you how much research they've done. Because in the King James Version, 1611, it would say Iodeus here. And actually in the Hebrew it would be Yahudi or Yahudim. One of those, if you're talking about the people of God, the Hebrew people, and that's what they were called. But here in the Authorized King James Version it says, behold, thou art called a Jew. Of course, like I said, they weren't called a Jew. They were called Yahudim or Yahudi. One of those two terms was a reference to the people of God who were called by His name, which is Yahuwah. You see how that works? They were called by His name, and His name wasn't Jew, okay, or anything like that. That's a Romanized or Latinized version of the Greek. That's where the Jew comes from in the name Jesus. And all of that, for those of you who missed that part of the study. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resistest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Oh, and restest. Sometimes the old English kind of messes me up there. And you rest in the law, and make your boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Okay, of course, now here Paul is referring to the Jews of his day, or the Yahudi or Yahudim of the day, perhaps scribes or Pharisees, and people who were devout in the religion of the Hebrew people. And that's who he's speaking to now. So, are you Yahudim? That's who he's speaking to at the time here, and that's who he's addressing. And you know, there are a lot of people, there are some sects out there like that today, perhaps the Jehovah's Witnesses, and some others, or perhaps there are some practicing, what do you call them, Judaists? Is that what you call a person who follows the religion of Judaism? Because Judaism and the faith of the Hebrew people are not the same. Their religion is something else. But they keep the law. And you know, I was watching a movie once where the guy was a practicing, you know, to the letter Talmudic Judaism. You know, they have their Talmud. It has all the rules how they're supposed to keep God's law. You know, and I believe that Yahshua or Jesus referred to that as the traditions of the elders. They had all these extra biblical writings that they followed, and that's true Judaism is all following all the extra biblical writings. Because and just for an instance, I could say like the kosher rules where you can't have milk and meat even in the same refrigerator. Well, you show that to me in the Bible. It isn't there. See, that's extra biblical. That's part of the traditions of the elders. It's not out of the Scripture. There's nothing in the Scripture that says you can't eat, you can't have, you know, pizza. Now, if you're having pork pepperoni on your pizza, well, forget that. You'd have to have beef pepperoni. And you could only have so much fat in it, I mean, according to God's law. You know, because you're supposed to toss out the fat, not keep it, and mix it with other stuff. It's good for soap. You know, as long as it was fat, the fat of a clean animal, you could use it for soap. Because that's what fat, soap is made out of, is fat, usually. But you see, get the idea that they had extra biblical rules. They had the traditions of the elders. They had their Talmud. And then there was the Babylonian Talmud, which I guess developed in Babylon. And so it's not the religion of the Messiah. It's not the religion of our Heavenly Father. It is not the religion of His Word. Judaism is not that. And that's who Paul is speaking to here in this part of his instruction. And also, he could be speaking to anyone today that follows any religion that is works-based or based on that type of strict constructionist of type religion, where you go way out. But, you know, and I like what the Messiah said. He said, you by your tradition make the law of God ineffectual. Because what have we learned? We've learned from the words of the Messiah, we've learned that the reason that He gave us the law and the prophets was to teach us how to love Him and to love our neighbors ourselves. That's what it was all about. If it's not for that, it's not for anything. If it's not to teach us how to love God, loving God comes first, and then to love our neighbors ourselves according to His law. Because He teaches us how to love our neighbors ourselves. Because a lot of people go, well, I love my neighbors myself, but they love their way. And I've drawn the illustration how a homosexual loves his neighbors himself is not God's way. It's a perverted way. So we have to do it His way. That's why the loving God comes first. Then you love your neighbors yourself. Well, let's jump back into our text here. He'll judge the secrets of men by Yahshua, our Messiah. He says, are you called Yahudi or a Jew, and you rest in the law and make your boast of God and know His will and approve things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law? But therefore which teachest another, teach thou not thyself? So if you're going to teach others, you have to teach yourself. Thou that preachest, a man should not steal. Do you steal? And thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? And thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the image of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now, what does it boil down to? Of course, in the law, we had circumcision through Abraham and the seed of Abraham. It was commanded that they bear that sign in their flesh, all of the men. But if they didn't have a heart after God, then their circumcision, the sign in their flesh, was worthless. They might as well not be circumcised. That's what Paul is saying here. It's nothing. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? He's saying it's better to be amongst the heathen and by nature uncircumcised, but to have a heart to do those things which please God. And he says, if that's you, then you're going to judge those who, even though they have the sign of circumcision in their flesh, they transgress the law. For he is not Yahudi or a Jew, which is one outwardly. And he's talking about the sign in the flesh, the circumcision, the sign of the covenant. Neither is the circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Yahudi. And you know, I really don't like the word Jew here. It doesn't work. Because these are the people called by his name. This is what is being conveyed by labeling these people with his name. And the name they were given was Yahudi, or the people of God. Because that's what it means. How would I say it? You're like my children. They're my children. They're called by my name. Someone they say, well, you know, that girl, that boy, Nicholas's son, Nicholas's daughter. See how they're called by my name. And when Paul's expressing, but he who is Yahudi or Yahudim, which is one inwardly. So he's saying, but he is called by his name, which is of him inwardly. Because it's more important what's in the heart than any sign in the flesh. It's more important. It doesn't matter what family on earth you're born of. You could be any color. You could be black, you could be brown, you could be red, you could be white. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what nation you were born in. You could be Canaan, you could be American, you could be Mexican, you could be Ethiopian or Chinese. It doesn't matter. That's what Paul is saying here. But he is of God. He is a son of God, which is one inwardly. Because the whole struggle at that time was between those of national Israel, to whom the oracles of God were given, the people of God, God's nation on earth in the flesh, and those who were without and were coming in to the kingdom of God. And they were discovering that the kingdom wasn't in the flesh. What did Yahshua say? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, Israel as a nation was of this world. Israel as a nation of men with the sign of circumcision in their flesh is of this world. Genealogies are of this world. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That settles the question right there. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what family you were born from. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Period. You want to inherit his kingdom? Fall on your knees and repent of your sins. The kingdom is at hand. That's the master, he preached that message. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He didn't say repent so you can go to heaven when you die. That's a false gospel. That's the gospel they preach today in the evangelicalism churches. Repent so you can go to heaven when you die. You better be there before you die, because that's an everlasting kingdom. And only those who are in that kingdom will be in that kingdom forever. But he is a, and we'll just read it the way it's written in the Authorized King James Version here, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Yahudi? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And there we have it. Paul is saying that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And of course, the oracles of God was the handwriting of the Word. It was the Word of God. It was committed to the Yahudim, to national Israel. The Word of God was committed to them. It came out of their prophets, and they had it, and they kept it. But of course, we know what happened after the 70 weeks were up. the oracles of God, we're no longer committed to them. Now, if we're reading through all of the New Testament, we see some hints here and there in some of the writings where they seem to be alluding to what was written in the other, in perhaps in one of the other epistles or some of the other New Testament writings, or we see the same influence. Perhaps it's just the influence of the Holy Spirit. But what we do know is that when the scriptures were specifically referred to in Paul's writing, as Paul expresses here, that he's referring to what we call the Old Testament. That's what he's referring to here. Unto them, national Israel, were committed the oracles of God. And then we know that after the 70 weeks were up, that the oracles of God, or the Word of God, what we have now in the form of the New Testament, went into the language of the nations, because Israel's time was over. Remember the prophecy. And I don't believe I can emphasize this enough to correct all of this false eschatology garbage that's out there. There's just so much of it. So I've been expressing it over and over again. The 70 weeks were up. And that's why the Word of God went into the language of the nations. And yes, the times of the Gentiles was already here, because they were in the times of the Gentiles. Because, it, you know, what did Yahshua say? He said, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot of the nations, Gentiles, same word, until the times of the nations, or Gentiles, be fulfilled. And that started with Babylon coming in to Jerusalem and trodding it underfoot. And they continued. Jerusalem, from that time forward, to that time, to 70 AD, when it was destroyed, had always been trodden under foot of the Gentiles. It still is today. Times of the Gentiles has not been fulfilled yet. Yeah, you say you got Israel, you got the old city. What do you have there? Is that not the Gentiles' Dome of the Rock? Doesn't that belong to those of another nation? That's still being trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. Got one false prophet out there, a man I know whose name is Steve Budd, and he changed his name to some Israeli-sounding name. And he's going around telling everyone that the times of the Gentiles ended, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. Well, if that's what he believes, then every prophecy that he utters out of his mouth is false. So not only is he a false pretend Jew, as if flesh and blood could inherit the kingdom of God, but he's a false prophet. If the times of the Gentiles is over, why is it still being trod underfoot of Gentiles? Why is that Dome of the Rock there? Why are they worshiping that false god, Allah, the moon god, there? Why? Why? Because the times of the Gentiles has not been fulfilled. You want to know when the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled? It's expressed perfectly in the mystery Babylon image. And I love it when you... I love the mysteries of the Scripture. Things. And, you know, when you see a mystery in the Scripture, there are several mysteries. The mystery of the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm here to explain to you. These are things that the world can't see. These are things that are hidden from the world. But he says, Yahshua said, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And then he went about to explain it to them. I'm not sure they understood it fully, or maybe they did for a minute, but they forgot when he got crucified and they were all scared and hiding. But he helped them remember again. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, boy, everybody remembered then that was, you know, part of his kingdom. But to those that are outside, they don't understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. How it's here, how flesh and blood can't inherit it, how it's not of this world, and how I can sit in heavenly places in Yahshua, in Jesus, the Messiah. I don't understand that. And then there's the mystery Babylon. See, the Scripture has the answer to all the mysteries. Mystery Babylon. Yeah, Daniel told us about mystery Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed it. I'm sure he didn't quite understand it. I'm certain he didn't understand it, because he went and built a totally solid gold image from top to bottom, and he wanted everyone to worship it. No, the image of Mystery Babylon was only a head of gold. Okay? So when does the times of the Gentiles end? When that great mountain called the kingdom of God strikes the image in the feet and 10 toes of iron and clay and shatters it to pieces forever. That hasn't happened yet, because he's still got all these wicked kingdoms out here, kingdoms of men with wicked men being their mouth, the mouth of a beast. You know, all of these beasts have mouths and they speak like a man. That's what the scripture is talking about. When the beast is given a mouth, of course, the beast is a government, and it's a government of men. It's a fictitious entity. You can't say, well, show me the United States of America. No, it's a concept that only exists in the minds of men. It's a beast. So you have to give it a mouth to speak. And then you get these guys, like they did here just recently, and they do it every 4 years. These guys get up there and they go, vote for me! Make me the mouth of the beast. Because they know they seek after power and riches. And they know if they get elected to be the mouth of the beast, that they're going to become powerful and rich. But then again, they're only the mouth of the beast. They're only the mouth of the beast. So that's when the times of the Gentiles will end. If you can understand, Mystery Babylon. Ooh, Mystery Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed it. Daniel told us all about it. That image is the answer to Mystery Babylon. So you want to understand what Mystery Babylon is? It's the image from head to toe, and it still exists today as the feet and the 10 toes of clay and iron. And it will exist that way because there's nothing below the feet. We're down there at the end there, you know, maybe a couple hundred years here to go in the iron and clay. Yeah, a couple hundred years to go here. And, of course, the iron is Rome. No doubt about it. It was Rome when it was, you know, when it was solid iron, and so the iron is still Rome, and then the clay, of course, are the people of God. Well, that's the end of this segment. We'll be back after the news. Don't go anywhere.